Jesus. Oh, if you're thankful for the change that he made in your life, can you praise him right now? Oh, hallelujah. If you need him to make a change in your life, why don't you praise him right now? Jesus, oh, you're able, oh God. Thank you for the change that you make. Thank you for the difference that you make, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't have to leave bound by chains of guilt because he has purchased our salvation. He has purchased freedom for us. You don't have to leave the same way that you came in tonight. You don't have to leave bound in the same way that you walked in here bound tonight. If you need him to set you free, he is here to set you free. He is here to cleanse you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I am thankful for what God is doing. For what God is doing. He's not done yet. But he's already started. He is moving and he is working in this room. And we can certainly feel his presence with us tonight, and I am thankful for that. You can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. I was in here yesterday spending some time in prayer and preparation for what I am doing right now. I was knelt right over there on the other side of this speaker, and I had my watch on, and it's an Apple Watch, and I had my wrist cocked just right so that I had actually pushed the button, and Siri was listening to what I was saying as I was praying. And I said, God, I want you to say what you want to say through me. What do you want to say? And I felt my watch vibrate, and it comes across there, and it says, I'm sorry, Amber, I can't help you with that. No, Siri, you can't. But God did, and here we are. And we are, I don't say this because I'm the one going to be delivering it, but we are going to hear a word from the Lord tonight. Not something that technology can give to us, or not something that humans can conjure up and manipulate or maintain, but something that only God can do. We're going to experience that in his presence tonight. In Jesus' name. Humans are quite remarkable. They have accomplished some pretty remarkable achievements. Artists, sculptors, writers, musicians, engineers, inventors, doctors, the list goes on. They've done some pretty incredible stuff. They built ships that would travel over vast oceans, expanding global trade. They built steam engines, and when steam engines were invented, journeys which had previously taken days could be done now in a matter of a few hours. But then the Wright brothers, not Peter and Aaron who are with us tonight, but other Wright brothers, came along and achieved humanity's historic quest to fly. And the short flight in 1903 revolutionized air travel in the 20th century and remains one of the greatest technical achievements of our time. Vaccines have been developed, and for many centuries, human life expectancy was very low. Life was hard, short, and painful. And the great advances of medical science in the 19th and 20th centuries have allowed people in many developed countries to have a much greater life expectancy. Some of the most important discoveries included the first vaccines developed by Edward Jenner for smallpox and Louis Pasteur for rabies. The creation of vaccines and widespread vaccination programs have led to the decline and, in some cases, complete extinction of dangerous diseases such as polio, TB, smallpox, and others. We've put a man on the moon. It was a great scientific achievement to put man in space, let alone land one of us on the surface of the moon. And as Neil Armstrong so aptly said, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Humans are remarkable. Speaking of steps, Usain Bolt holds the record for running 100 meters, the fastest, at 9.58 seconds. Brother Brad, I figured it. You could probably get to your house in under a minute, there and back in under a minute. We'll start the time. Go ahead and... Humans are remarkable. On May 29, 1953, Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay finally conquered the crown of the world, reaching the top of Mount Everest. At 29,028 feet, Mount Everest is the highest peak in the Himalayas. 29,000 feet. That's roughly 5.5 miles in the air. And they climbed that thing. They climbed it all the way to the top. A Cessna Skyhawk has a maximum operating altitude of about 13,500 feet. That's not even halfway up Mount Everest. Humans are remarkable. The Great Pyramids, the building of which is a remarkable human accomplishment. The fall of the Berlin Wall, which removed the barrier between East and West Germany, enabling that country to be reunited. But on a larger scale, it symbolized the end of communism in the Soviet Union and in Eastern Europe. It was a key moment in our U.S. history when the March for Jobs and Freedom marched in Washington in 1963 and Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his I Have a Dream speech. The ending of racial segregation here in the U.S. stands as a monumental example of what humans can do. We have influence and we have power and we have impact. Humans are remarkable. Humans are capable of doing great things, even extraordinary things. And still yet, with all of the brilliant, incredible, unbelievable, and remarkable things that humans can do, there are some things that we are incapable of doing. Some things are outside the realm of possibility. At some point, our power runs out. At some point, our resources run out. At some point, our intellect is insufficient. And at some point, we hit a wall and forward progress seems impossible. But when that happens, when in my own human ability I am incapable of finding the solution, when I am powerless to change my circumstance or to heal the disease or to provide the payment or to rescue a loved one, when humans can't, God can. When humans can't, God can. He is not limited in the way that we as humans are limited. His reach is far more reaching than we could reach. His love goes beyond where our love can go. Where humans fail, God does not fail. The psalmist said it like this, Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Basically, the psalmist was saying, if I have to choose between human intellect and God's intellect, I'm choosing God every single time. When I'm faced with the choice between human ability and God's ability, it's really a no-brainer because it is better to trust in the Lord because God never fails. The one thing he cannot do is fail. Second Chronicles chapter 32 tells a very, very neat story. We're going to walk through it together. And then we're going to see what God can do in this house. Second Chronicles 32. Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria at that time, had set his sights on Jerusalem to conquer and to destroy it. And he was a successful warrior. He had a long list of military conquests and political accomplishments. He had skill and he had control of a very powerful army. Nations much larger than Israel had not been able to withstand his conquering capability. And now he was looking in Israel's direction. And he intended to add them to the list of his defeated foes. And Sennacherib did what probably any army captain or general would do. He begins to taunt Israel just a little bit. Chapter 32, verse 10 is on the screen. He says, "In what do you trust that you remain under siege in Jerusalem?" In other words, I'm about to attack and destroy this city. What do you think you're trusting in that is stronger than me? You should be running. You should not be here anymore. You should have taken cover long ago. He continues his intimidation in verse 11. "Your leader has given you false hope and persuaded you to stay here by telling you that the Lord will deliver you." Verse 13, "Don't you know what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands in any way able to deliver their lands out of my hand?" He's talking trash to them. He's trying to intimidate them a little bit. "Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people from my hand that your God would be able to deliver you out of my hand?" He's asking them, look at my list of accomplishments. Look at all the things that I have done. Look at all the battles that I have won. Look at all the defeated people that I have conquered. Who can deliver? He was asking what he thought was a rhetorical question. Who can deliver you from my hand? He goes on. He's not done yet. Verse 15. "Now therefore, do not let Hezekiah, who was the king, deceive you or persuade you like this. Don't believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God be able to deliver you from my hand?" He taunts them. Tries to intimidate them by boasting about his success, how that no God has been able to withstand him and their God won't be any different. Who can deliver you out of my hand? Verse 16, they're not done yet, says, "His servant spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters to revile the Lord God of Israel, speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand." And our enemy tries the same exact tactic with us. He tries to sow seeds of doubt and discouragement. God hasn't yet, so he can't. I've not met an individual yet who can come through this victorious, so you can't. Look at how bad the situation is. No one has ever survived this, be it situation, disease, struggle, or temptation. Our enemy tries to intimidate us and whisper in our ear, cancer is bigger than God. They're too far from God. They've done too much. Maybe he's whispered in your ear, you'll never sleep peacefully again. He's intimidating you. And he's lying to you. He says, you're going to live with this pain and this regret. Your God isn't able. Who can deliver you? Who can? God can't. God can't. God can't. And the whisper of the enemy is unceasing in your ear. God can't. But I'm here declaring, you just need to rip up those seeds and weeds of doubt and plant your own seeds of faith. I know in whom I have believed. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I serve a God that can heal. I serve a God that can deliver. deliver. I serve a God that can rescue, that can save, even from the uttermost. Oh, come on, if that's the God that you serve, why don't you praise Him for a second? Lift Him up. Tell Him. Express your faith in Him right now. Oh, my God can. My God can. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He's not willing that any should perish. He can save to the uttermost. My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches in glory. My God can. Come on, say it. My God can. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. Psalm 56:11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Man can do some things. We've already talked about they're pretty incredible for some bad, good stuff, but they're also pretty incredible for some bad stuff. They can taunt and they can intimidate us and they can discourage us. Man and the enemy of our soul, the enemy of humanity's existence. We don't serve a powerless God. We serve a very powerful God. And it's also true that we are not opposed by a powerless enemy. He has power. But God can. Man can do a lot. Man can intimidate and man can mess up and man can disappoint us. But God, I will not be afraid for what man can do unto me. We don't have to fear what man can do when we trust what God can do. We don't have to fear the diagnosis, what man can do. When we trust the healer of all of our diseases and what God can do. We don't have to fear what man can do when we trust what God can do. And in this story, Hezekiah teaches a very valuable lesson on enduring such intimidation and taunting and mockery and impossibility. Firstly, when faced with an impossible situation where human ability was not enough, Hezekiah still did what he could do. Okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 2. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, here's the list of what Hezekiah started to do. This wasn't God at this point. This was man, what man could do. Because sometimes man has to do what man has to do. God can do what God can do, but sometimes He wants us to do what we can do. And here's Hezekiah. He consulted with his leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. Many people gathered together, stopped up all the springs and the brooks that ran through so that the king of Assyria, when he came through, could not have any water. Verse 5, and he strengthened himself. He built up the wall that was broken. He raised it up to the towers. He built another wall outside of it. He repaired the millo in the city of David. He made weapons and shields in abundance. He was doing what he could do. And then he set military captains over the people. He gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate. Hezekiah did what Hezekiah could do. He was doing what he was capable of doing. In preparation for God doing what Hezekiah was incapable of doing. Before the taunting and the intimidation had come, Hezekiah had taken time to prepare. And I'm not saying Hezekiah's efforts, what man could do, saved the Israelites. Their victory was truly miraculous, an act that only God can do. But I am saying that even when faced with an impossible situation, there are some things that we can and should do. Preparation for battle happens long before the battle starts. My battle tomorrow is won by my faithful obedience today. There are some things that we can do to prepare for future battles today. Those are things that man can do, women can do. Understand, I'm using man in the broadest sense possible. There are some things that humans can do. Your battle tomorrow, next week, next month is won by what you do today, by decisions you make today, by things that you do today. And you're doing a good one right now by being in the presence of the Lord when His doors are open. Preparation for battle happens long before the battle ever starts. David went out on the battlefield with proven weapons. It wasn't his first time to use a sling and a stone when he came up against the giant. And when our battle comes, that shouldn't be the only time that we pray or read or fast or do acts of consecration or desperation. What I'm saying is there are some things that we can and we should do. And in moments of intense battle, the enemy would like to paralyze us and cause us to think that we are helpless and that we can't. But I'm here to say you can pray. You can read His word and be encouraged and receive faith from His word. You can be faithful and obedient. You can do what you know to do. You can. You're not defeated. You're not helpless. You may be, and I don't take away from the crushing weight of the burdens that you are carrying tonight, but I'm here to whisper in your ear a truth that the enemy's whispering a falsehood in your other ear. I'm here to whisper the truth in your ear to say you can pray. You can put one foot in front of the other. He would try to immobilize you and paralyze you in the problem that you're in, but God can see you through, and God can work in your situation. Not only did Hezekiah do what he could do to prepare, but secondly, when faced with an impossible situation where human ability was not enough, he declared faith in God. 2 Chronicles 3 and verse 6, he set military captains over the people, gathered them together in the square of the city gate, and he gave them encouragement saying this, "Be strong and courageous." Hear that, somebody. Be strong and courageous. You're not weak. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So maybe in your flesh you feel weak. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So take courage. Be strong. Act strong. Even when you don't feel like it, it's an act of faith, but act and be strong. It's not hypocrisy, because we're not believing in our ability. We're believing in the ability of heaven. So don't let the enemy lie to you and say, well, you're just faking it till you make it. No, I'm acting in faith. I'm faithing it till I make it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria. He's going to blab. He's going to try to trash talk. He's going to try to intimidate you, but don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed by him, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with them. There's more with us than are with him. Have you ever felt alone in the battle, and you just wish that you could see the host of heaven that was on your side? Elijah or Elisha, one of the two, prayed for their servant, that God would open the eyes of his servant to be able to see the multitudes that were for them and not against them. There's more than just you in that prayer room. There's more than just you praying for that loved one. There's more with us. There's more power on our side. There's more power on our side. Come on, there's more power on our side than there is on the side of the enemy. Remember, greater is He that is in you. Hallelujah. There there more with us than with them. Hezekiah got a little nanny nanny boo boo in his spirit. There's more with us. He could taunt back at the enemy. Verse 8, he says this about Sennacherib. With him is the arm of flesh. All he has to rely on is human power. His only resource is human weaponry. His only defense is human intellect and human strength. With him is the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Our help is so much greater than the arm of flesh, because the arm of flesh will fail us every time. But the arm of the Lord is strong and mighty, and he will never fail. Your enemy can only go so far. Your enemy only has so much power. The God of heaven is on your side, and there are more with us than they that be with them. Hallelujah. We don't come to this battle armed only with what humans can do. We come armed with the power of the God of heaven. And when humans can't, God can. If you were to stack them up next to each other, what the Assyrians could do and what the Israelites can do. Physically, there was no contest. When it came to human ability, there was no contest. But Israel wasn't just fighting with the strength of what humans can do. They were fighting with the strength of what God can do. And so are we. Psalm 108 and verse 12. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Have you ever felt that way? I've gone here and I've gone there and they've not been able to help me. The woman with the issue of blood felt that way. She had gone to doctors. She had spent her living going to what man could do. But finally, she heard Jesus was coming. She pressed her way through the crowd. She did what she could do. She did her part. She fought her way through the press of the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment. It was all she could do. But it was absolutely enough, because what she could do met what God could do, and there was a miracle in her life. What I'm saying to you right now is, give us help from trouble, Lord, for vain is the help of man. I don't want to just rely upon what humans can do. I don't want to just rely upon what Amber can do. I want to rely upon what God can do, because God never fails. You're not facing that ability, that impossibility, with just what you can do. You're facing it with what God can do. And God can do anything. You can stick the label, God can, on absolutely anything. What do you got tonight? What are some needs in this room? Shout them out. Go ahead. God can. I am the healer of all of thy diseases. He took stripes on his back for our healing. God can. Salvation? God can. Is there sin? God can. He can forgive it. God can forgive it. Is there brokenness? God can make whole. Is there divorce? God can restore. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. God can. He can. I struggled a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. I was in here pacing yesterday thinking, surely I don't have to convince a church of 85 plus years that God can. What in the world I'm going to show up on Sunday night and they're going to be like, bless her heart. Please do, Lord. Bless my heart. He can. But you know what? I think we're all human enough. When we go through a situation, sometimes that's the first thing out the window. God can heal the woman with the issue of blood. Amen, Amber, I believe it. God can heal blind Bartimaeus. Amen, Amber, I believe it. But your situation, the mountain you're facing, the frustration that you're feeling, and the inadequacy that you're feeling, God can in your situation too. We sometimes are accused of, you know, shoveling over the word of God to somebody else who needs it. Especially if pastor's preaching one of those real convicting ones. Oh yeah, so and so, they need that. Shovel it right over there, you know. Whoop. Get my spade full. I'll deliver this for you, pastor, and just like take it to them actually at their seat. We don't just do that with conviction, too. Sometimes we do it with faith. It's easy for us to believe for somebody else. It's easy for us to believe for the impossible when we're asking for somebody else. But God can for you, too. God can heal you, and God can save you and your lost loved ones, and God can restore your relationships. God can. He can. There's other sermons that I could preach and with this one. God can, he wants to, and he will. Pastors preached that before, but it's been a while. I could preach it, and, you know, y'all might think it was me, but. So there's more. He wants to, and he will, and I believe. I just want to hammer down on God can. He can in your life. He can in your situation. He's not just everybody else's God. He's not just a power and a force for everybody else. He's a power and a force in your life too. And he wants to do something if you just believe that he can. I didn't read all of verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 32. It ends up with this. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They were strengthened. Now, I read this passage to you, this story to you, a little out of order. I read to you where Sennacherib goes through and he taunts them and he intimidates them. That's in verses about 9 through 19, 10 verses of his trash talk. All of this that I'm saying now was before he even started that. Hezekiah prepared the hearts of the people for the intimidation and for the attack of the enemy with an expression of faith in God. And it strengthened the people to be able to go through what they were about to go through. And so I'm here to declare to you tonight, we've heard this multiple times in the past couple of services. If you will speak faith in your situation, your heart will be strengthened to go through the days that are ahead of you. Because God can. God can. Brother Brad, there's a black trash can in that room. Would you just grab it for me? Thank you. Sometimes we wish with circumstances in our lives that we could just get rid of them. That we could just throw them away, never deal with them again, throw them in the trash can. We don't want to see them because, you know, so come Monday or Friday, whenever your trash day is, that garbage truck's going to come by. He's going to pick up that trash. You're never going to have to see that trash. You're never going to have to see that cardboard box again. You're never going to have to see that stuffing, whatever it was. You're never going to have to see it again. And I think sometimes we wish we could do that with our situations, don't we? I mean, we just want to be rid of it. We don't want to deal with it anymore. We don't want to have it crowding up our space, our mind, our worry, our fretting. We don't want to have anything to do with it. We just want to throw them in the trash can. But we're not able to do that. We can't just snap our fingers and be rid of the circumstances in our life. One of the reasons is because sometimes God's trying to help us out with some of the stuff that we go through. He's trying to teach us a little something, or he's trying to rub off a rough edge or something. He's trying to build something in us, test us and try us and build us a little bit. So we can't just get rid of the situations that are discouraging us and that are frustrating us and that are holding us down and depressing us. We can't just throw them in the trash can. But I submit to you that if you will take your situation, every need that you have, and you just put it in the God can. I can't do it, Lord. The doctors can't do it. The lawyers can't do it. The help centers can't do it. But God can. And I felt something this morning as we were praying, as we were speaking faith in our altar service. I felt it again when we were submitting prayer requests. If we will, the Bible tells us that if we ask in faith, believing, whatsoever we ask in faith, it shall be done. So we not only present our needs to the Lord, we present our faith as well. And this little God can illustration is just one way to illustrate that. God, I'm going to put my lost loved one in the God can. Category. I'm going to put my disease in the God can category. I'm going to put my family situation in the God can category. I wish we could have passed out papers for everybody to write an impossibility that you are struggling with in your life. I wish we could have done that. And if you feel you want to actually do that with something you have, a piece of paper that you have, you feel free to do that. And when we come up forward in a few moments and pray, you just place it in the God. It's just an act of faith. It's silly. It's ridiculous. There's nowhere in the Bible that says if you put your needs in a piece of paper in the trash can that God's gonna. It's just an act of faith. It's an act of faith. But I prayed yesterday, and I felt assured by the Lord that when you place that need in here, in that God can category, that frustration and that anxiety and that depression is going to lift up off of your shoulders the weights that go along with the situations that you can't get rid of just yet because God's doing a work. But the weights that come along with that, God's going to lift those things right up off of your life. Would you stand right now? And maybe you can't put it physically on a piece of paper, but if you would just come and symbolically put it in the God can and say, you know what? I'm going to believe that God can. I'm going to believe that God can heal my disease. I'm going to believe that God can deliver my lost loved one. Go ahead and come forward. Express your faith in Him. Pray with one another and let them feel your faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray that faith would rise in this house to believe you once again for what you can do. God, there is nothing that's impossible to you, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. We're putting our needs, we're putting our struggles in the God can. We're putting them because we know that we can trust and we can believe in you. You can heal. You can save. You can deliver. You can restore. Come on, speak faith right now. Speak faith in your situation. Or if you feel to go to somebody else, speak faith into their situation. Because God can.
My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me.